Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Long ago, the Apostle Paul wrote the ultimate essay on love. After you master 1 Corinthians 13, you'll know what real love is and isn't. Today, more details on God's view of love, the kind He shows us, and the kind we're to show to others. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a series on finding where you fit. Turn with us to 1 Corinthians 13 as Dr. Lutzer comes again to tell us about the motivation of love.
Now, verse 3, really, I struggle with it. I think you will too. And if I give all of my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned but do not have love, it profits me nothing. I look at this and I say, how can somebody who gives all of his possessions to feed the poor not be loving? I mean, there have been those in church history who have done this, and we hold them up as the quintessential example of what love is all about. And then there are those who give their bodies to be burned. In France, there were martyrs who were marched to their death who sang so loudly that the world hired a band to drown out the sound of the people who were going to lay down their lives. And Paul says, I could give my body to be burned, and I could die at the stake and still not have love. And I say, Paul, I thought that that's exactly what love does. And Paul would say, now wait a moment before you shout. He would say, you have to understand that it's even possible to do that with such a wrong motive that it's not loving, though it looks that way. And if I give my body to be burned, and if I give my possessions to feed the poor, Paul says, if I do not have love, I am nothing. Love is essential. It is necessary. Now, in the next verses, Paul picks it up and says, love is special. Love is special. And certainly, by the way, he would say to us, you know, if we, no matter how much we know, no matter how gifted we are, no matter how much we delight in the gifts of others, no matter how wonderful our worship service, and what a wonderful worship service we've had here this morning, but no matter how wonderful it is, if you do not have love, you are nothing, Paul would say. And now beginning at verse 4 and going through to the end of verse 7, Paul says that love is very special. It is extraordinary. You don't find this in the average office down in the loop. You don't find this in the average home. This is something so unusual that, as we shall see, it is a gift of God. It has to be. And Paul doesn't define love. I wish I had said, Paul, you know, there are all kinds of arguments going to happen in church history over what love really is. Why don't you give us a definition? Settle the arguments. But he doesn't do it. He just said, I want to describe it. And he gives us some behavioral responses of love. And here he lists quite a few. He begins with two positive ones. He lists eight negative ones. And then on the other side, he comes up with five positive responses again. So let's just simply take them. First of all, love is patient. That means it's able to endure injuries without retaliation. Remember in 1 Corinthians 6, he's discussing the question of lawsuits, and he says, you know, you Christians shouldn't be going into court with one another in front of a pagan judge. I mean, can't you resolve your own differences, and can't you even rather take wrong than to do something like that? Love is patient. It does not have to take another Christian to court to settle the score and to get that last dime. That's not love. Love is kind. It pays back with kindness that which was delivered in hurt. And then he begins that negative list. Love is not jealous. It delights rather in the success of others. Have you ever thought of the roots of jealousy in our hearts? And who of us has not been jealous? Who of us has not been willing to see someone who is above us in our company or in our ministry or whatever? Who of us has not secretly seen him fall and perhaps delighted in it? That's not love. That comes from somewhere else, but that's not love. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag. Oh, we've all met those people who draw attention to themselves, who say things that even may be true, but you listen to them and you say, spare me, spare me. Love does not brag. Love is not arrogant. We recognize that right away. And the reason we do so with such facility is because we look into the mirror several times a day. Love is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. Now, what would that be? Well, Paul uses that word in chapter 7 of this epistle to refer to a man who might lead a woman along and then in the end not marry her. Give her the indications that he's going to and then turn around and having misused her. That's not love. Love doesn't use a woman towards its own ends. There's another word to describe that begins with the letter L. That's a four-letter word, but it's not love. It's something else. That's not love. Love does not seek its own. It's not into it for its own interests. It's not just interested in its own selfish, narrow-minded, individualistic agenda. That's not love. Love is not provoked. And how easily we get provoked. At our day of prayer yesterday, somebody was praying and saying that, Lord, help us when we are in traffic, not to get angry. There are people on the expressways who can provoke us if we aren't careful. But be very careful, especially if you have a Jesus bumper sticker. But love is not provoked. Love does not keep a record of wrongs, Paul says. It doesn't have this whole file folder that it can resort to, because if you do this and that, I can draw up this particular file and I can show you what you did back in November of 1992. That's not love. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. It doesn't delight in evil. It doesn't like to spread stories and gossip, even if the gossip is true, because did you know what so-and-so did? And I just can't believe it. But you know, come to think of it, it is just like him. That's him. That's not love. That's something else. That's not love. Doesn't do that. Paul says it rejoices with the truth. It bears all things. That means that when the going gets difficult, it keeps bearing it. It believes all things. Is it naive? It's not naive, but it does give people the benefit of the doubt. It'll always try to put stories in the best possible light. That's the way love is. And then he says it hopes all things. It hopes for the very best. It endures all things. That is love. Now, I don't think that we should interpret this to mean that if you are being abused, you should simply take it. I want you to know today that if you are being abused in your home by a father, or if a husband is abusing his wife or abusing his children, you should go for help. But the Bible does indicate that this is a quality of love that you do not find on Main Street. This is special. Love is necessary. Love is special. And love is eternal. We keep going here. I told you we were going for a walk, and we're not yet to the end of the garden. Notice it says in verse 8, love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. This past week, I was in Nashville speaking at the Religious Booksellers Convention. And, you know, there are rows and rows and rows of books and booths of the publishing company. I won't even describe what goes on. And you look at all of those books, you know, enough wisdom to float the world, really. But prophecy, the gift of prophecy and these gifts of communication, they aren't going to last forever. You aren't going to have to listen to sermons in heaven, Paul is saying in a footnote. He says, if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. Oh, you say, but I can speak in tongues. In fact, there are people now in certain churches who not only are speaking in tongues, but are making animal noises, and they are doing that, thinking that they are doing God a favor and themselves a favor. And Paul says, if there are tongues, they will cease. If there's knowledge, what that he means is that gift of knowledge he talked about earlier that some people have. He says, it's going to be done away. So all of the books and all of the tapes and all of the things that we put so much stock in today, they will no longer be relevant at a certain point of time, and they will all burn. They will all burn. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. See, this is the best we can do. We need these gifts in this side of eternity. But when the perfect comes, that is when Jesus returns to earth and the church becomes perfect, this partial, this struggling with our own gifts and knowing where we fit, he says it is going to be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak as a child. I thought as a child and reason as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Paul says, you know, all you're arguing about gifts and this one is greater and you really need that if you're going to get really plugged into God. He said, it's childish. He's not depreciating the gifts, mind you. They are very important, but what he's saying is if that's your emphasis and you don't see this overwhelming tide of love that should engulf all that you do, he says you have really missed it and you are childish. Yeah, that's what he says. For now we see through a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, just as I also have been fully known. People say, well, we know one another in heaven. Of course we'll know one another, and I believe that intuitively we'll know the names of all the folks in heaven, because it says, now we know in part, but then I shall know fully, just as I also have been fully known. It doesn't mean that we're going to be omniscient. In heaven, we aren't going to know everything. In fact, one of the things we're going to be doing in heaven is studying God to eternity, because the ideas of God will extend to eternity. So we're going to be learning in heaven.
You know, this is Pastor Luther, and I want to emphasize where I ended this segment, and that is to stress what it's going to be like in heaven and the love that will be shown there. I believe that when we are in heaven, it's not going to simply be seeing Jesus and worshiping him, though that will be the highlight. It won't be simply seeing our friends who have died and who are there with us now. I think that heaven is going to be heaven in community. We're going to be doing things together. There's going to be a sense of camaraderie, if I can use a term like that. And in the midst of this community, of course, there will be God. And of course, to stress again that the real motivation there in heaven finally is a love that is free of all jealousy, a love and communion that is free of all competition, that is free of all sense of selfishness. It will finally be a pure love. You know, there are those who think that they can do some kind of a work and do it with an absolutely pure motive. I don't think that we can do that on earth. No matter how good our motives, there's always some kind of impurity. Something within that motive oftentimes may be selfish, or we may desire recognition and what have you. But I look forward to the day when we will worship and serve simply because we love God and the overflow of the love that God has put in our hearts. Well, my friend, I conclude today by challenging you that that love should already be evident in our lives right here on earth. Read again 1 Corinthians 13.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. That was Erwin Lutzer with more of The Motivation of Love, the fourth and final message in his series, Finding Where You Fit. Next time, more on how people attract one another and why our understanding of love must become more than skin deep. All four Finding Where You Fit messages can be yours on CD, sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.